Well, good morning, everyone. I know it was pretty difficult getting here. When I got here, I couldn't get within like several blocks, so my wife and I and my kids had to walk. But knowing that's the case is totally fine. There were lots of people who I know were straggling in. People might still be straggling in, but this is what I'd like to do, just because busy, hectic days like that can often make us not really focus on what God is going to do. So we want to believe God's going to do something here today. So I just want to ask you, if you just pray with me real quick before we jump in. God, we just thank you for who you are, and we thank you for all that you have done already in this service and what you've been doing in our lives. And we believe that your Spirit is at work in us and through us. And we just ask, God, that your Spirit would come afresh in this place right now, that you would anoint my words, that they would be your words, that as we look at your Scripture, that your Spirit would move through it and bring it alive to us a fresh way today. God, we just bring you everything that has been going on this morning or this week or what is going to happen after this morning, and we just give it to you. With everything we are, we focus our eyes on you, for you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. And we come to you afresh today saying that we need you, God. And we ask that you would speak to us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. My wife and I have been married for over 10 years now. When we first got married, my wife said she wanted a four-post bed, which I was like, I don't care. As long as the mattress is comfortable, I don't care what the bed looks like. These were bad words for me to say because I didn't know that in 9 years of marriage, we would move 9 times and we bought a four-poster bed from IKEA, which means it had 1,000 pieces, and I had to take this thing apart and put it back together like 1,000 times. And I thought, you know, when you get the thing from IKEA, you're thinking, I'm not going to move. It's a bed. It's going to stay up. No, I mean, this was crazy. It had all these little pieces, you know, and so there's tons of things. And we didn't know it, but there was like a special, for whatever reason, only one size that only IKEA makes, Allen wrench, that was just made to like get up in the corner where like the boards of the corner of the bed would meet. You know, and of course, at some point, I lost it. And I thought, it's okay. It's just like an Allen wrench. I got 1,000 Allen wrenches from all my other IKEA furniture. So I went to make it, and those Allen wrenches did nothing. Like, you know, you put it out there and just, nothing happens. So then I noticed that the bed, because I kind of, you know, I did as much as I could with my fingers, the bed started to fall apart. Like, literally, it was right where our heads were, basically, and it just started, like, falling apart. And I was like, well, that's not good. So for a while, I kept figuring out things to do. And at one point, I found bungee cords and literally, like, wrapped the bungee cords around the corner of my bed to try and keep it locked into place. But it really didn't work. It didn't matter what I tried. The bed just kept falling apart because I was missing the main thing I needed. And today I want us to take a look at what it is that potentially we are missing in our lives with Christ. That is the main thing that we need. And so we're going to take a look at John chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 1 here. And we're going to pick it up here. I'm just going to read this for us. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born again when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned and already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. All right, I know that's a big story there for us and one we might be familiar with, but I want us to think about this for a moment. In case you're not familiar, Nicodemus is a teacher of the law. He's a Pharisee, and he's one of the members of the ruling council. Okay, so when you think of Nicodemus, this guy is, he's got it going on. I mean, he is high up there. He's part of the people who decide what happens in the nation of Israel. Okay, he is respected leader of the people of Israel, and he's a Pharisee. Now, I think sometimes when we hear Pharisees, if you've been around the church at all, we give Pharisees a bad rap because Jesus is always like coming after them and calling them bad names and things like brood of vipers. And so we just think, oh, Pharisees, that's the bad guys. The reality is that before Christ come, the Pharisees are people who their goal is to be as righteous as possible. They want to fulfill all the laws, and so they kind of went overzealous in that, and somewhere along the way they lost their way a bit. But their goal is to be as righteous as possible. So it's not like every Pharisee is evil. They're trying to follow the law, okay? And so here's Nicodemus. This is a guy who's got it together. He is following all these laws. He is respected. He is in the council, and he's doing all this stuff. Unfortunately, the Pharisees and the ruling council do not recognize Jesus as coming from God. You know, they're here thinking this guy is wrong and they're planning to kill him. But here's Nicodemus, one of them, and he goes, no. He comes to Jesus and on his own, I mean, he comes at night or whatever, he doesn't want anybody to know he's there, but he comes to him to acknowledge that you, O Rabbi, you must be from God because of everything you've done. Now, put on your imagination to think about a little bit how Nicodemus must feel here. Remember, he's got it going on. He's following the rules. He's a guy who's doing what's right. And nobody else in his group is acknowledging Jesus. And he's coming to acknowledge Jesus and say, yeah, you must be from God. If I was Nicodemus, I think I would be coming in with a little bit of like, I'm kind of doing this guy a favor. Like, you know, I'm coming. I'm recognizing him. I'm saying, hey, yeah, you know, you are God. Like, you must be from God. Like, I'm the first one from my group, the ruling council who is admitting it, and I'm coming to you, and I'm giving you this, and he's just kind of taking a risk to say to Jesus all these things. And so if I was Nicodemus, I would be thinking that Jesus would say something like, thank you. Thank you for finally taking the time to recognize me. Or being like, wow, you're so wise, you saw the truth. But Jesus doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say anything close to that. Actually, Jesus completely ignores Nicodemus' testimony. Nicodemus is like, Jesus, you must be God or from God. And Jesus is like, he doesn't say, oh yeah, he doesn't acknowledge it. He just says, dude, you got to be born again. I mean, think about it. If you're Nicodemus, you're like, wait, what? Like, I just said all this stuff, like acknowledging that you must be, and then what? Born again? But see, I don't think Jesus is making a mistake or saying things unintentionally. In fact, this is really the only time Jesus uses this phrase of born again. And here's why I think part of this is. Nicodemus is one of the only people who has come to Jesus at this point, or really at any point, who's from that ruling class, who's got it together, who's following all these rules. And doing it out of right motivation, it's not really there, but clearly from his heart here, who he recognizes Jesus when he sees him, there, it's not like he's an evil guy. He's got it going right, but he's trying to do the right things, and he's been trying to do it out of his own strength. And Jesus looks at him and he goes, yeah, it's not going to work. You got to be born again. And when he says born again here, what is he really saying? He's saying you have to be born of the Spirit. Because if you don't have the Spirit, you can't understand the things of the Spirit. You can't see the things of the Spirit. And that's what it takes to see the kingdom. That's what it takes to be a part of this, is to be of the Spirit. And so Jesus says, if you're going to get this, if you're going to walk in this, if you're going to flow in this, then you have to be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus is just floored. He doesn't really understand it. He doesn't get what he's talking about, because it's such a radical concept to him. What does it mean to be born of the Spirit? See, one of the main problems with the Pharisees and their thinking is, I can follow these rules. I can do this. If I just work hard enough and think smart enough and make enough guidelines in my life so that I don't make a mistake and I don't sin and I don't do these things, I can accomplish this. And with these words, Jesus throws all of that out and he says, no. You want the kingdom, you have to be born of the Spirit. What that means is we have to be full of the Holy Spirit. It has to be a part of us. This was so common for the early church that in Acts 8, verse 14 and 17, this is a time when after persecution had broken out in the church and they've been scattered and they went all these places, one of the disciples, Philip, went into Samaria and he started preaching about Jesus. And a lot of them came to faith. So many, in fact, all this good stuff is happening that the church back in Jerusalem is like, well, there's so many people there, maybe we should check it out. And so, and I'm just going to read this for you. It's Acts 8, 14 through 17. It says, now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them. But they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. See, what's happening there is a picture of what is necessary. See, the people had already believed in Jesus. They believed that he was the Son of God, that he had come to take away their sins, and they had believed in him, and yet something was missing. The apostles showed up and they said, wait a second, you guys have believed in Jesus. What about the Holy Spirit? And they go, what's that? Who is that? They didn't know. They weren't intentionally not doing something, but they just had no idea. And so the apostles go, well, that's not okay. That's not right. So they prayed over them and say, will the Holy Spirit fall on you? Would you be full of the Holy Spirit? And they received the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of times we've heard the teachings of Jesus, and maybe we even heard about the Holy Spirit, but maybe we haven't received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we haven't walked in that. Maybe we haven't really felt like we're born of the Spirit, where we feel like we're doing all of this on our own. If you're somebody that's sitting here saying, like, I have no idea what in the world that I'm talking about right now, that's okay, but what that means is that you are missing one of the key integral parts of what it means to follow Christ. Jesus says here, you can't even see the kingdom unless you're born of the Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians 5, he says, do not be continually drunk, but be continually filled of the Holy Spirit. There's something here where we need the Holy Spirit. Now, when I was in college, I grew up hearing about the Holy Spirit. Okay, I heard all this stuff, but and I believed in the Holy Spirit. And we said, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we get that. I'm like, okay, yeah, I know that's part of theology, but I didn't really understand anything about it. And people, I would hear these stories. Like, I would read books because, you know, I was in seminary and all these things and college classes. And I was in Bible classes since I was, like, in fourth grade because of the way I grew up. So I heard all this kind of stuff. But every time about the Holy Spirit, I was like, I don't understand this at all. And it always seems so mystical. I hear people like, oh, I received, somebody prayed over me and it was like electric fire running through my body. And I was like, that sounds really weird. Like, I don't get that. And so there was part of me that was like, I don't know if I want that. Because that sounds strange. And that sounds weird. But then I got a little bit better teaching, and I was once in college, and I was at a retreat, and people were like, they were praying, and I was asking, and I was like, you know what? I'm kind of at a place where I just feel like I want this Holy Spirit thing. And so people were like, all right, well, we'll pray for you. And they're like, all right, you know, they're like, you know what? I feel like you already have the Holy Spirit. I see you doing things and stuff. And I was like, oh, huh? And then I began to understand that this idea of the filling of the Holy Spirit is actually, it's not that like there's some new thing, like all of a sudden now, pow. Sometimes that happens for people. But a lot of it's about surrender. It's about saying, you know what, God? I want you to be in control of my life. And I open up myself so that you, O Holy Spirit, can have your way in me. And then it's like the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes bubbling up out of you like a fountain. And as I began to surrender more of my life over to God, I began to see more and more of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and I began to see more and more of the kingdom around me because I could see the things of the Spirit because the Spirit was in me. Part of the reason that Paul says in Ephesians 5 to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit is all around us in the world are things that distract us and take us away from the things of the Spirit into the things of the world, and it can clog our eyes. But here's the reality. We are made to be full of the Holy Spirit. We're made to live out of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's for all of us. It's not just for some sort of spiritual elite or somebody who has everything right or doesn't sin or something like that. It's for all of us. And the reality is this, and this is a massive topic, which I'm just going to kind of give you a little taste of, but without the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, your Christian life is going to be miserable. Because you can't do it. And the beautiful thing about this is that God didn't intend for you to do it. He intended for you to get out of the way, surrender to Him, and allow His Holy Spirit to fill you and sanctify you through and through. Make you more like Him through His power at work in you as you surrender to Him. And I think a lot of us live our Christian lives without the Spirit. And so we're like I was with my bed, trying desperately to keep the thing together without the one piece that would actually make it work. And if you've never opened yourself up to the Holy Spirit and said, God, I trust in you. I want to give you my life. I want you to fill me up. Then you are living your Christian life without the one tool that is necessary to see victory. To see fullness, to see all that you need. Because it comes from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to paraphrase this. Francis Chan wrote lots of books, but actually there's one of my favorites. You might not know about it. It's called The Big Red Tractor. It's for children. And he talks about the Holy Spirit. And just paraphrasing this, basically he says there's a town with people in a farming community, and they have a tractor. And every year when it comes time to plow their field, all the people get excited, and they get together, and it takes the whole town to plow their field. Because what they do is they have this nice tractor, and they push and pull the tractor so that it can plow the field. So they don't turn it on, they don't work it, they just push the thing. And they, at the end of weeks, they manage to plow the field. And everybody in the town is so grateful with it. They're just like, oh, this is great. This big red tractor helps us plow the field. And you're like, what in the world? It's crazy. If you see the pictures, it's literally just people pushing a massive tractor and pulling it. And you're like, wow, if you just grabbed a stick, you would do this faster. But then one guy finally realizes, wait a minute, I think this tractor was made for something else. And he found the manual, and he read the manual, and he fixed up the tractor. And then one night, he's so excited, he gets up, he's fixed the tractor. Over in the middle of the night, he turns the thing on and plows the entire field by himself in a night. And the villagers wake up and they're like, what just happened? And the guy's like, dude, we were using that tractor all wrong. Look what it can do. The story there that Francis Tran is saying, see, when we don't live out of the fullness of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, it's like we're pushing a tractor when the tractor was made to drive. If you're not living with the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, it's hard and it's miserable. I could go into a lot more depth in all this, but I don't want to do that today. This is what I want to offer you, okay? I want to give us a chance to receive the Holy Spirit, okay? What I want to encourage you is this. Like I just said about myself, if you're like, man, that sounds too weird, put that aside. This is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's equally God as much as Jesus. But here's a couple of things that keep us from receiving the Holy Spirit. One is fear. One is fear of what will happen to me if I actually surrender to God. Will he make me do something weird? Let me save you the effort. Yes. Get over it. But you want to know something? When you actually surrender into the Holy Spirit and you do find yourself doing something weird in the moment, you know what happens? You love it. Because you're full of the Holy Spirit and you're like, why would I be doing anything else? Another big one is control. We're not ready to say, God, you have your way in my life. We're like, God, yeah, I believe in you. I trust in you. You're good. But I want my life to fit my plan. When you try to control your life, you say no to the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you today. Be born of the Spirit. So this is what's going to happen. I'd invite, if you were asked to pray for people, I just invite some of you to come up here in the front over here and some in the front over there. And I'll invite the worship team up. What we're going to do is this. We're going to sing some songs, but while we're singing, this is what we're going to do. If you're sitting here going, I need the fullness of the Spirit, or I need a refilling of the Spirit. Okay? This isn't just even like a one-time deal sometimes. Sometimes this is just like, I have not really been walking with the Spirit. You can come up and we'll pray over you to receive the Spirit. So I just want to give you that option and that opportunity for you for that to happen. Just like they did in Samaria when Peter and John were there, they laid hands on people and they received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of the deal. Part of what this life is supposed to be. So I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then I just invite you to come on up and receive prayer. Let's pray. God, I just praise you for who you are. I praise you for all that you do. I praise you that you love us. I praise you that you never intended for this life to be lived out of our own power. That you never intended for this life we lived in our own strength. God, I'm sorry for how often we as people want to be in control. How we say no to you even unintentionally by saying, I want it my way. God, I'm sorry for how often we say, out of our fear, we say, I don't want that because I don't know what will happen. God, would you help all of us in this room today to simply say yes to you? God, I ask specifically for those in this room who've never really experienced your fullness, who've never really had that experience of being born of the Spirit, that today would be the day. That you would encourage them, strengthen them, give them the courage they need to just simply come up and say, yes, I want God. I want the Holy Spirit in my life. I just encourage you now, as we move into this time, don't let today walk away. If you need the Holy Spirit, don't let this pass you by. So as we sing, we welcome you up front.